This is the lecture on what is a cause. This lecture was prepared by Professor Alemi. This lecture is based on Chapter 2 of the book by Stephen Sloman. The book is titled Causal Models: How People Think About the World and Its Alternatives. We present the lecture in the context of exercising, but the lessons should apply to many other behaviors as well. When we asked people to list the causes of their exercise, we were surprised by the answers they gave. Much of what they said could not be considered a cause. Many listed their goals. For example, one person said that she wanted to exercise so that she can fit in a dress one size smaller. Fitting in a smaller clothes may be a goal for exercise, but it's not a cause of it. Some listed the reasons why they wanted to exercise. For example, one person said that they exercised because they wanted to be healthy. Again, this is a legitimate reason for why people exercise, but it's not what we have in mind when we talk of a cause of exercise. Still others listed general motivation for their exercise. They would say things like, "I exercise because I'm committed to do so." This answer begged the question of what's the cause of your motivation. It replaced our original question with another equivalent one. When we talk of causes of exercise, we want you to look beyond your motivation. So many people made errors in listing their causes for exercise. It occurred to us that we need to distinguish a cause from other concepts such as goals, reasons, and motivation for exercise. This lecture is our attempt to do so. Before we start spending time on what is a cause and what is not a cause, let me talk a bit why it's important to do so. People who do not know the causes of their behavior are condemned to repeat it. You cannot change unless you change the events that are influencing you, and you cannot do so until you understand what is causing you to act the way you do. Most people make resolutions that they cannot keep. They keep attributing their relapse to their own motivation and fail to see other causes of their behavior. It is a farce. People try and fail but do not learn from it. They keep doing it. They keep hitting their head at the wall in front of them and fail to find a way out. Understanding is key in bringing about successful, lasting change. This lecture will help you understand what is a cause and thus prepare you to analyze your own behavior and notice the causes of your behavior. We see our world in terms of cause and effects. We say that spark causes fire, forest fires. Smoking causes lung cancer, or substance abuse causes addiction. In each of these statements, one event can cause another. In this sense, a person smoking is considered an event. This event causes another event called lung cancer. Causes link events to each other. It's easy to talk of events causing other events because an event marks a change. It's hard to say the same about a non-event, for example, physical objects. Physical objects do not typically cause changes because they seldom change themselves. Thus, it's hard to talk about physical objects causing other physical objects to change. A cause has to appear when the effect occurs and disappear when the effect does not occur. In this sense, causes are temporary events. They are absent at one point in time and present at another point in time. The statement that my spouse makes me exercise is not a cause of exercise, because it's always present. Your spouse is always there, even when you do not exercise. On the other hand, the statement that my spouse reminded me to exercise could be a cause if exercise follows after the reminder. Causes describe a mechanism where an event leads to another. A series of events cause each other. The process continues until the effect emerges. The original event is called the root cause. The cause immediately preceding the effect is called direct cause. The more the mechanism from the cause to the effect is clear, the stronger the claim that you have found the cause. Let us look at an example. Suppose you want to exercise before you drive to work. If you watch a late show, you're likely to sleep late. If you sleep late, you're likely to wake up late and have no time to exercise. The fact that you did not exercise in the morning can be attributed to waking up late today, which can be attributed to sleeping late last night, which can be caused by watching a late show. In this sense, the root cause is watching a late show, and the direct cause is waking up late, and the effect is no exercise before you go to work. A cause may or may not have the desired effect. It's not true that every time the cause is present, the effect follows. Sometimes it doesn't. You may think that sleeping late leads to waking up late. This is true, most of the time. But an alarm clock may change the situation. You may wake up early even though you slept late. In thinking through causes and effects, it's important to think of probabilistic relationships. We would say that when we watch a late show, we are likely to skip exercise next morning. Not that it's for sure, but that it is likely. This brings us to another observation. All causes increase the likelihood of the effect. Another way of saying this is that when the cause is present, the effect is more likely. So if being on vacation is a cause of exercise, then vacation and exercise must co-occur, maybe not always, but frequently. In this sense, given that a cause has occurred, then the probability of the effect should increase. Another point that should be obvious is that causes always precede the effect. One cannot talk of exercise being caused by being on vacation if exercise occurs prior to vacation. One can say that anticipation of going on vacation causes the person to exercise. Here again, the anticipation precedes the exercise. All causes always precede the effect. It's easy to claim that every effect has a cause and every cause has another event that affect it. Therefore, everything in the universe is a cause of your behavior. This type of thinking is not very helpful. It's important to limit the analysis of causes to events that you can personally control. For example, you could imagine that biking to work will increase your exercise. In this sense, biking to work is a cause of your exercise. What enables to bike to work is a bike route from your house to work. If this does not exist, and if you cannot create a bike route by yourself, then there is no point to consider this as the root cause of your exercise. It's important to focus on causes that can be changed by you in time and resources available to you. To think of all possible causes is not always healthy. This is not analysis. This is sort of paralysis. Focus on the causes of your behavior that you can manipulate and change. Typically, you will find these among daily living routines, such as your sleeping patterns, your commuting habits, your eating routines, and other similar routines. Among these routines are events that you can directly manipulate to change the likelihood of you exercising. A counterfactual is a statement that argues that the effect would not have occurred if no cause is present. Some counterfactuals are introduced by phrases including the word almost. For example, you might say, I got up early and I almost did my morning exercise before I got interrupted by a phone call. Here the phrase almost did my exercise triggers the idea that getting up early is a cause, albeit an uninterrupted cause of exercise. In a counterfactual, the absence of a cause leads to absence of the effect. The phone call has made getting up early irrelevant, and now the effect is also absent, and the person did not exercise. Or you might say, I could have exercised if I had gotten up early. Here the phrase, I could have, highlights the fact that getting up early is a cause of exercise. This cause was not present, and that's why the effect is not present. A counterfactual statement helps you identify possible causes. Similarly, the statement, "I would have exercised if I was on vacation," identifies vacation as a possible cause of exercise. Counterfactuals are usually about why you did not exercise. In this sentence, the causal relationship between getting up early and exercise is implied by the fact that making breakfast has prevented the person from exercising. Counterfactual statements are a useful way to notice implied causal relationships. In addition, these statements are a good way of testing whether an event is a cause of exercise. If you think something is a cause of your exercise, you should be able to come up with instances where the exercise did not happen because the cause was not present. The take-home lesson for this lecture was simple. The lecture helps you think about what is a cause. It outlines some key features of a cause. A cause is an event that occurs sometimes, not all the time. It precedes the effect, it never follows it. It co-occurs frequently with the effect. When it's absent, the effect tends to not occur. It focuses on events that directly lead to the effect and not some distant global concept. And causes describe a mechanism that leads to the effect. To be of practical use, causes should be modifiable by the person thinking through them. Now that you know what is a cause, you need to look at your exercise patterns and see what are some of the causes of exercise. The search for causes of your behavior can now start.